Today we have two presentations, honorable members. Can you assist me to guide, how many minutes should we give the presentation of the report? How much should we give each presenter? 10 and 60 minutes? Okay. Okay, I think I will give 20 minutes for each presentation that we have. We also have a few apologies here. One from the minister, the deputy minister. They won't be here with us, but we have the DG of the department. And and also an apology from Honorable Mahate and Honorable Zulu. Sorry, apology.
Okay, can we take a presentation?
Thank you, Chairperson and Honorable Members, colleagues. My name is Dr. Fagate, the Director General of Social Development. I have a team here, Chair, from both departments and SAFA. Mm-hmm. SAFA is led by the Chief Executive Officer, Ms. Virginia Peterson. I guess the members know her very well. I'm not sure whether we have time to introduce everyone, but we have new senior manager at the department.
Only the new ones.
Only the new ones. I will also check with my colleagues from SAFA if there are any new members she would like to introduce. No, it's all the members. Chair, we have been joined by two DDGs other than the old ones we are familiar with. Late last year, December and November, we have Mr. Togolani Magwaza, who just maybe raised his hands. Togolani Magwaza is the new Deputy Director General for Social Security. The previous position occupied by Mr. Shaoma, those who know him. Yes. And then next to me, I have Ms. Nelsie Wenzilakabu, who is our new Deputy Director General on Strategy and Business Development, which is basically your Chief Operation Officer, in a way, in the department. I think those are the two chapters that I would like to introduce. You have already indicated the apologies for the Minister and Deputy Minister. Chair, thank you very much, the Cabinet Lekgotla. Chair, we will be presenting briefly the annual performance results of the Department of Social Development, as well as SAFA, for the year that ended 31st March 2013. Mr. Thabang, our M&E heads will take the members through the presentation, and we will entertain the questions together with my colleagues. Save to the chair as an introduction that the department continues to strive to ensure we ultimately reach our ultimate objective of a caring society, and therefore still stick to our vision and mission, which is aiming at working very closely in partnership with those who are committed to that ideal. We have also been striving to balance the demands for our services as a result of a number of factors, partly from socio-economic influences, the downturn economy, poverty, challenges, or the triple challenge of poverty, unemployment, and inequality continues to be a challenge for us as social development. Hence, we have to strengthen our strategies and interventions, especially in the areas of social security to income support, but also other social interventions that includes the dealing with social ills that emanate from tackle challenges. We have had a fairly good results from the governance point of view, share as the three entities, that is SASPA, NDA, and ourselves. For the first time, we have been able to make the Auditor General also happy. And at the last minute, before we closed the year, we had a visit, a high-level team from the Auditor General to present the Minister and the Deputy Minister with a trophy for the clean audits that came out of that year. And all the efforts of the combined efforts of both ourselves and SASPA. Because as you know, the big budget that sits with SASPA is also linked to our department's budget, and therefore when they evaluate the performance, they look at both budgets, and they are not saying there are no problems, Chair, but they were fairly happy with the progress we have made in terms of cleanup in all angles, both from the administration as well as dealing and fighting fraud and corruption in the system. With those few remarks, therefore, I will hand over to Mr. Kabane Buthelezi just to quickly go through the slide, just highlighting and putting emphasis on more important areas. But also, I think he will also highlight some of the challenges that we encounter, because we did encounter challenges, especially in certain areas where targets may not have been achieved. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Didi. And good morning to the honourable members. The purpose of the presentation is to present to the Central Committee members the department's performance against its determined objectives for the financial year 2012-2013, and to present the audited annual financial statement for the same financial year ending in 31 March 2013. And my colleague, the acting CFO, Mr. Abel, present the second part of this. The DG has reminded us about the vision and our mission. I'll just quickly go through it so that I try to make it on the 20 minutes that have been provided. But to remind the select members is that the department has identified and committed itself to the five priorities, which priorities are about expanding child and youth care services through the CBDB program, to increase access to early childhood development services, to combat substance abuse as well as gender-based violence, to increase household food and nutrition security through the Food for All program, and provide the protection and promotion of the rights of other persons and people with disability. We are linked in terms of the work that we are doing is also linked to the 12 outcomes of government. By then, before they were increased to the 281, since we have 14 now. These are the five programs of the department. Program 1 is admin, program 2, social assistance, program B, social security, police and admin, administration, program 4 is welfare services, police development, as well as elimination of what, program 5, which is social policy and integrated service delivery. The part B now, colleagues, I would like to take you through, honorable members, to the actual performance. But before that, I would like to provide a very short context. The social development sector delivers services in an environment marked by high levels of poverty, unemployment, as well as inequality. Although the department is less responsible for policy formulation as a national department, it also renders some of its services directly to the public, for example, the registration of non-profit organizations. The department also works with other institutions within and outside government in the execution of its mandate. The critical partners here include, among others, DBE, basic education, labor justice, and rural development, among others. The areas of collaboration include critical projects on issues affecting children, HIV/AIDS, or obscene victim empowerment, youth, social security, just to mention a few. And given this collaborative nature and interdependence of some of the department's work, it can only meet as a result of the sum of the targets in other institutions that implement other commitments as well. So, and also, we as a department, because we do some reprioritization in some instances, the department has to shift some of the funds between or within the programs in the light of the newer urgent critical priorities. For example, the focus of the department on the Gwanda talk, our role there to play there in order to prepare the car for the rollout of Gwanda to the new site. Now, I'll be looking at the actual performance by each program. I'll start with program 2, Here in all the slides, the nature of the presentation is to try and link it, that target to the government outcome as well as our DSD specific outcome. In terms of our DSD specific outcome to protect people and vulnerable people living in South Africa against income poverty, this is through social assistance, which is program 2. With the target of extend DSD coverage for 0 to 4 year olds to 66%, and we achieved 65%, and we suspect the 1% deviation or shortages because of the registration process, and to increase the number of the total number of grant beneficiary coverage to over 15 million, and number of the actual achievement, we achieved 16 million, above 6 million of this. We also, the target was to increase the old age grant beneficiary coverage to 2,828,232 per person, and we achieved here, and we had a slight increase or slight achievement in terms of this target. We also wanted to increase the CSG beneficiary coverage to almost 11.5%, and this was not achieved fully, as achieved 11.3 instead of 11.4. In terms of social security policy administration, the appeals adjudication in particular, which is program 3, in fact, it's also adjudicated 90% of appeals within 90 days of receipt. So in total, what was achieved here, a total of 1,934 appeals were adjudicated, and of these, only about 43% were adjudicated within 90 days of receipt. So we did not achieve this. Samson, I'm done with program 3, which was the appeals, which is social security policy and administration, and now moving to the welfare services, which is the latter part or the latter proportion of the presentation. Concept standards and service provider management support. We wanted to appoint commissioners to head the inquiry onto the state of the welfare services. And the Ministerial Committee, since the process was actually achieved, the Ministerial Committee or Commissioner to review the implementation of the White Paper, which is 1997 paper for social welfare services, has been approved by the Minister. We have to aim to award 798 scholarships to social work students, which was going to raise the total number to about 4,750. What was actually achieved is more than double, as 2,087 new scholarships were awarded during the reporting period, and academic year, and number increased to 6,389, the total number of students that we have ever provided these courses. And many students, because of this increase, many students were identified during the ministerial outreach program that she has conducted during that period of review. We also wanted to facilitate the approval of the policy on social service professionals and occupations. The policy was finalized but not yet approved during the time of reporting. A non-provisional conversation of the policy were held between July and August. And I could see, I've asked my fellow, we are over and above the presentation, we are providing a much more disaggregated or broken down information up to provincial, where we really tell you, honorable members, exactly where our province, each province achieved in the areas where we could break down the information. So that has been provided to you now. We also, regarding the service for older persons, we wanted to raise 90 community-based care and support services for older persons. And what was achieved is 104 community-based care and support services for older persons were registered, which was more than what we had targeted. We wanted to have an increase on the number of older people benefiting from community-based care and support services, 1,450. Here, 35,197 older persons benefited from community-based care and support services, and this is explained in detail in the understanding that is being provided right now. on services to people with disabilities, we wanted to approve the policy. We decided to approve the policy on social development services to people with disabilities by August 8th, and the policy was approved by the management committee of the department, which was as well achieved. On the services to children, we wanted to increase the number of children accessing ECD programs up to school going age by 10%, and this was achieved more than what we targeted as 15%. We measured that the school going age children that are accessing ECD were about 15%. We wanted to increase the research partial care facilities by 10%, and the research partial care increase was only by 5% instead of the 10%. We had targeted to conduct a comprehensive audit of 5,487 early childhood development sites in all the provinces, and more than this was actually audited at 6,250 ECD centers were audited in all the 9 provinces. We also, on commitment services to children, we wanted to increase the number of children accessing adoption services by 5%, and what was actually achieved is 38% of the total number of adoptions were registered during this year, and this comprised 1,522 national as well as 174 inter-country adoptions. We are targeted to increase the number of children in foster care by 10%, and the number of children was actually achieved is that 31% of these children were in foster care. Increase the number of children accessing drop-in centers by 15%, and here it was more than an overachievement as 450% of these children were accessing the drop-in centers by the end of the drought under review. Also, in terms of the services for children, we wanted to increase the number of children accessing child in new care centers by 10%, and here there was an overachievement at 23% of children were accessing these areas, which is the actual figure is 8,072. We wanted to screen 4,000 employees working with children against the Child Protection Register, Part B, and here instead of the 4,000, 32,305 employees were screened or were screened against the Child Protection Register, Part B. On services to families, we wanted to build capacity for implementing the integrated parenting framework in all the provinces. The actual achievement was capacity building was conducted in 5 remaining provinces, namely Limpopo, Eastern Cape, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape as well as Northwest, and the 4 were covered during the last financial year. In addition, the active parenting for teenagers has been developed flowing from the integrated parenting framework. We wanted also on services to families, we wanted to facilitate approval of the white paper on families, and the draft paper on families was finalized and was due to be presented to cabinet in May 2013, and this was actually achieved as reported. We also on services to families wanted to implement research recommendations on the effectiveness of services for families, and as part of the Division of Research Recommendations, the concept paper on family preservation services was developed flowing from those research findings. On social crime prevention, chairperson and honorable members, we are targeted to train persons, civil practitioners and service providers in integrated social crime prevention strategies and education of diversion services and minimum social standards. And this was done at 369 personal service providers were trained. We also wanted to monitor the implementation of digital integrated social crime prevention strategy action plan by all provinces, and this was achieved, but except the Free State because of financial constraints that they cited. On social crime prevention as well, we wanted to monitor the implementation of social crime prevention programs in all provinces. And this was achieved in all provinces with an exception of Eastern Cape for the same reasons that I mentioned before on financial constraints. We wanted to draft legislation on victim empowerment services, and a zero draft on victim empowerment services has been well developed during by the end of March 2013. On victim empowerment as well, we wanted to facilitate the implementation of gender-based violence prevention programs in 9 provinces. And this was completed in the fourth quarter. We wanted to develop and follow the accreditation system in dating shelters throughout the country. And this was done, and the 4 shelters, were able to pilot the framework for accreditation. On victim empowerment, we wanted to implement the success of indicators in 3 provinces and 2 clusters national. And all provinces implemented this series of indicators, and we monitored together with 1 national department. On substance abuse services, We wanted to facilitate the implementation of the National Anti-Substance Abuse Program of action of the provinces, and this was done in the Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, as well as Free State. They were able to facilitate and to implement this program of action. We wanted to finalize and facilitate the approval of the regulations for the prevention of and treatment for substance abuse number 7/28, and this was achieved and proclaimed by the president, and it came into force by March 2018. The substance abuse wanted to facilitate the approval of the treatment model and build capacity for implementation, and this was done and built in all 10 provinces. We also targeted to develop a social policy strategy, and this was developed and approved. And we also wanted to facilitate the approval of the National Drug Master Plan. And this Drug Master Plan 2013-17 was developed and is waiting approval by Cabinet. On services to youth, we wanted to train 150 youth mentors. And in the, we overachieved 209 mentors were trained, where we had wanted to have 300 youth to participate in community dialogues. We had overachieved 2,215 youth. Participated in various youth dialogues that were held throughout the countries and many areas. And the three provinces had to implement intersectional programs. Yet the three provinces were able to implement, and those are Mpumalanga, Limpopo, as well as the Northern Cape, implemented the intersectional programs. For those other youth, we had targeted that 1,000 youth to attend leadership camps, and here there was overachievement as 1,014, 41 attended the leadership camps. Wanted to establish 9 provincial youth. Here we had achieved as these were only established in Free State and KwaZulu-Natal, and the establishment of other foreign provinces, it took longer than we had expected. On services program for HIV/AIDS related, we had sought to reach 27 wards through social and behavior change interventions. Here was overachievement, and most of the overachievements here are due to the ministerial outreach programs, as through the policies that we have to pick up to provide psychosocial support in many areas. For example, also we had 500, we expected to train 500 youth to enter social behavior change. Here is 500 level, but overachievement, where we wanted to facilitate special committee conversation on HIV/AIDS. 84 instead of 60 were reached, and this was facilitated. Where we had targeted to 408 from the organization to implement social and behavior programs, we were able to reach 1,010. We had sought to target to provide co-social support services to 440,012 target households. Here, more than that, we reached. But SIV wanted to provide social support to 13,050 youth. Yeah, more than that, more than triple, almost a triple of these young people were reached, as 36,052 were able to be provided. Youth headed households were provided this social support. Where we wanted to provide 96 organization management training, we're able to reach almost a double, 1,056 SCPC organizations were provided with management training. Still on SIV is, we wanted to reach 258 funded SEPC to report in accordance with the M&E system, and 231 were able to be funded. Where we wanted 600 funded SEPC to comply with minimum number standards, we discovered that 615 funded SEPC are indeed complying with minimum number standards. We wanted also chair and honorary members to facilitate the scheme of non-provincial and 38 district coordination structures. The non-provincial structures indeed were reached, and 42 disease coordination structures and 235 local commission structures. This amounts to 286 in total. Regarding the social policy research and development, the target was to provide training to 50 officials in social policy making and analysis, and indeed there was an overachievement of 55 instead of the 50 success. Since civil servants and parliamentarians will provide training in social policy making and development. Social policy making and analysis. We have also targeted to develop and review one policy in collaboration with the relevant directorates of various programs of the department. So these were overachieved as a policy documented and entitled, as a policy document entitled, building the capabilities of grant beneficiaries through economic skills and labor market abilities was developed, and the policy review included documents on community development and ethnic citizenship. There were also proposals on inclusive and sustained program paradigm. There were other contributions as well to other documents and whether it did, including the Sendier Review, the DSD Social Policy Trust since 1994, the DSD comments on the NDP Vision 2030. On, also on special projects in innovation, we are targeted to create 187 EPWP job opportunities through social sector programs. And according to the EPWP web-based system, the social sector facilitated increasing of 171,768 job opportunities. So there was a slight underachievement in this one. We wanted to extend committee work program to 151 sites. Here 148 CW sites were reached. We wanted to provide training to 300 only. We wanted to provide training to 300 people on integrating population factors into development. This is population policy promotion. Again, there was an overachievement of 394 people were trained. Where we wanted to conduct 9 capacity building, it was overachievement, the 12 was done. Where we wanted to produce only 10 thematic research, 13 instead were produced. We also on research in the matter of NPOs, we attempted to develop an NPO online registration system, and online web-based NPO registration system was indeed developed. We had also targeted to facilitate approval of amendments to NPO, and this document was finalized. We wanted to adjudicate 80% of NPO appeals within the 3 months of receipt, and indeed this was done within 3 months of receipt. We had also targeted to train 200 provincial officials on NPO governance and NPO acts, and 250 which was overachievement. Officials received training on government and NPO Act. On community development, we targeted to train 580 community CDPs on integrated development planning and the use of sustainable livelihood good toolkit. And here there was an upshipment of 673 where CDPs were trained. We wanted also to build community development capacity of 300 CBOs, and here over achievement of more than 458 CBOs received training. On community development, we wanted to develop a draft community development occupational framework, and this was achieved through community development personnel levels, namely CD, community development worker and community development assistant practitioner with scope and profile. And this was part of the draft occupational framework. We wanted to facilitate the assessment of the community development association, and the draft code of conduct towards this development has been achieved. On sustainable livelihood, we targeted to provide 200,000 households in red walls, and instead 187,003 households were profiled in various wards. We wanted to place change agents in 100 wards, and the change agents were based in 156. We wanted to mobilize 100 communities in 100 wards, but we overachieved 1,060 communities were mobilized, but it doesn't make a difference, it's only in 54 wards instead of 100. We wanted to promote equitable access to food by 200,000 households, and on more than 500,000 of the households were accessing food through DFC and Food Bank South Africa Food Nutrition Security Program. On the national obligation, which is specific, the department is an active member, as you know, chair and other members of the AU, the SADC, UN structures, which include other Human Commission on the Status of Women. And during the period under the view, DFC participated in 19 international aid conference, the UN Commission on the Status of Women, and the International Interministerial Conference on Evidence for SU. And we also participated in high-level post-Millennium Development Goals Conduct Group meeting convened by the Japanese Ministry of Foreign Affairs. The department continues to play a leading role in promoting the social dimensions of their part in the UN Commission for Such Development on behalf of the Africa Group and the G77. We also actively participated in the Organization of Economic Cooperation, OECD, as well as ISA, as well as other international social services. We facilitated five agreements in the period under review of the report 2018 financial year with Uganda, Benin, Bulgaria, Jamaica, as well as Lesotho. We also continue to serve as executive committee and the board of partners in population development. And all the opportunities here and the colleagues provide the platform for sharing social development experiences and provide assistance opportunities to create a better South Africa and a better Africa and a better world. In terms of summary and challenges, and honorable members, the department achieved 51% of its planned targets, while the remainder of the 39% constitutes the 29% where there was a partial achievement and 10% where there was no achievement at all. The reason for non-achievement of the targets is include, for example, dependence on other institutions, as I presented earlier when I was trying to provide the context in which we provide our services. And with regard to the establishment, like some of specific reasons now, especially for with regard to Program 3, the cabinet, with the establishment of the Department of Social Security, the cabinet recommended that the current social security institutions are structured, be restructured in order to promote, to improve coordination among them. With regard to police and retirement reform, the cabinet has recommended that further consultation should take place before the policy is finalized. The department formed the unit as it establishing an inspectorate for social security, however, it was hampered by lack of internal capacity. The department also revised its approach to this process to first creating the requisite internal capacity, and this is already been achieved, as we are reporting. There are some of the challenges which relate to resource limitations, capacity constraints, as well beyond just program threat and other challenges which will include other areas. And I'm sure the chair and could look into this one in the onset. In terms of the aggressive, there were no business submitted to Parliament during the year under review. Now, Chair, thanks so much, and other members, I'll hand over to my colleague, Mr. Appel, the acting CFO, to take us through the financial statement.
Good morning, colleagues. In terms of the AC report, the outcome is as you said. Come on, guys. The department received a clean audit report for the year under review. There was no matters of emphasis, and this makes it quite significant as it also includes the grant administration, the grant expenditure administered by SOSA. Additional matters raised by the AG, mainly the underachievement of the targets is reported the 39% not achieved, the material adjustments to the performance report during the audit, and share its development action plan to deal with the internal control weaknesses. In terms of the summary of expenditure, we spend 99.08% of our allocated budget, and that's the number that's been audited. Summary of expenditure for program administration, 99.3%, social assistance, 99.1%, social security policy administration, 99.8%, welfare services, 95.7%, social policy intervention service delivery, 99.5%, overall expenditure, 99.1%. Reasons for under expenditure, mainly program 1, the turnover staff and the savings on traveling. Program 2, mainly the low uptake of grants. Program 3, the delays in finalization of planned projects and the establishment of the inspectorate. Program 4, the delays in finalization of the early childhood audit. And Program 5, mainly the unfunded vacancies that were not filled. Economic classification, on compensation to employees, we spend 96.95%, goods and services 91.7%, transfers 99.1%, and CAPEX 82%. This is the summary. In terms of, see, I'm not sure if we should go through this because we was mentioning this is the detail of the program is going to buy economic classification, so we can go past it. Again, just the under expenditure is again for program 2. Can we go to slides? Yeah, it's just because we just need the detail of the program. Thanks.
Thank you very much for the presentation that you've just presented At this stage, I will allow members to ask their questions. The first question that I would like to ask is whether your resources, financial and human capital, are able to respond to the overachievement that you have made in the department. Huh? And also, okay, let me congratulate the department for the unqualified opinion of the chief. We've done this, clean audit. That's it. Yes, we have done very well. We are in charge of the committee. I remember at one stage we were worried about what was happening in the department, but we are excited to get this report today. Let me another one question that I have here. Okay, members, any questions? I've lost it now. Honorable Buroto, Honorable De Villiers, where's Honorable Faber? Why are you sitting at the back? I can't see you. So, is your hand up?
No.
Why not? You need to talk a lot here. So, you're happy?
I'm okay, yes.
Alright. Okay, Honorable Buroto.
No, thank you, Chairperson, and I also think I should follow suit and say congratulations to the department for the clean audit. We know all the time it was because of your other agencies that were letting you down. So we believe that everything is now in plan, and we want it to be sustained, and we are very confident that it will be sustained. This is the crux of our people, this department. Chairperson, let me just start with the simple presentation. Although we know that we have given you a little time, maybe the questions might be more of expansion on what you just gave us. I'll start with the report on the appeals, that the target was 90%. As only 46% was reached, and maybe why are you short-staffed? What were the main reasons behind the non-achievement of the 90%? Secondly, the ECG. Now let me pass that one. On older people. You are talking about the community-based care and support. I think this part, although you say it has already been outsourced, is not very visible. I'm not sure if maybe it's because the people do not know that they can benefit from this, because we really want this, especially in those rural poverty-stricken areas. It will be of much help. What are you planning to do to make sure that it reaches the lowest of the lowest in terms of class and poverty? The white paper on families, which we welcome very much. The presentation to cabinet was made on May 2013. Are we having any bill on the way, or what is happening with it now that it was accepted? Are we rolling out? What does it entail then? On substance abuse, we are told that the regulation for prevention and treatment of substance abuse, regulations for that, we also approved, they came into force since in March 2013. But what is the, in short, what does it entail, and what are there rollout plans, just to have an idea of what's going to happen there? Under challenges that you mentioned, establishment of inspectorate for security, social security. We understand we are unable to, according to this, we are unable to establish that due to the capacity, internal capacity. What are the plans? Because we really need this. I think maybe after SASA has also made their presentation, what we will raise will show how important this inspectorate is. Is it maybe, I don't know, how are you planning to overcome that problem that this be established? On the audit, the presenter started by saying that the document says no method of emphasis, but going through the AG's report, I believe that maybe there is a difference between emphasis and concern. There is a concern of supply chain management that needs to be looked into. We are also maybe worried about that, in that the research that the supply chain management has got problems, and maybe that is a matter of concern rather than emphasis. If it is, you know, this one I'm just going to be practical and say, where I come from, we have many questions regarding the funding of ECGs, more especially when it comes to the infrastructure. To qualify for the funding, some people will tell you, I'm not funded because I'm operating from a shack, because I'm operating from my yard. What is actually required of one to benefit actually from this particular funding? Because it differs from province to province. I'm not sure if you are able maybe to decide on a standard thing, because for instance, I come from Mpumalanga. They will always say, I can't have this, I've got these children, I've got a shack in my house, behind my house, I have so many kids, but I'm not funded. You go to Mamelodi in Gauteng, it's a shack, fully funded. So just there's something that I don't understand. Maybe we can be assisted at the national level to make sure that we have a standard way of doing this. Chairperson, yeah, Wanda. This Wanda, I know we once had a presentation about Wanda and spreading it to different sites and so on. I must say, I know nothing about Wanda from where I come from. And I'm not sure whether we are really on the move with this Wanda. Because all these things are very good things on paper. But are we seeing them happen really in our area? Especially those remote areas, so-called previously disadvantaged areas. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Robert, you will hear.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Let me also start there with they don't ever a skoon the flink. It's a skoon to the seed that broke it up. That's very good for the department. But somewhere in between there's that little sponge. And I know that you also know that about those little spots, and that you are actually concentrating how to erase the spots. Now my question is exactly round about those spots, because there are so many good things. Let me concentrate on those little spots. Now the target you received in your presentation is a 61.6%. But you send 99.3% of the funding. Now, just to check if my understanding is correct, The 99.3% that is under the program 1 is actually due to the reason you're shifting the funds from administration to other programs, and that brings you to the 99.3%. That maybe that is understanding. If not, can you just explain so that I can understand it better? That's the first one. And then in connection with the legal services, I picked up that only 64% of the letters were addressed, or you can handle, could handle 64%. Now, what mechanisms did you put in place to improve on this, especially during the next financial year? Because my understanding is there's a lot of issues not addressed by the department, and those will come from the people who sent through those questions and the queries. And the supply chain management. In the 2011 and 12 report, the AG said that it was a major problem. But now in the current financial, or the last financial year, 2012-2013, we acknowledge that you could not implement the supply chain management norms and standards. Now, my first question is, how will it address the processes on the department, and what are you busy to actually to address this problem, so that in the 2013-2014 year, that issue can be maybe finally addressed, or maybe 80% of the problems can be addressed. The other one is in connection with the child support grant. You spent 99.05%. Now you can say to me that the 99.05% is excellent. But my question is, why could you not achieve 100% of the SCG? What was the problem? And can you just give me some reasons? Because I'm actually saying to me that there is now 0.95%, my mathematics is correct now, 0.95% children out there waiting on this CSG child support grant. Maybe in all the provinces, or maybe in one province, or just a few provinces. The youth headed households. I'm actually used to child-headed households. Now it's place youth-headed households. It's a new term. Youth-headed households, 13,840. That was planned. And you achieved 36,253 with psychosocial support from the department to those different groups. Now my question actually to you is, how could you achieve more than 100%? 13,000 and you achieve 36,000. Can you just give us some idea, how could you be able to reach that target, and the financial situation in that? Because if you want to tackle a program, it must be funded. Now it's 13,000, say 14,000, and it goes up to 36,000. What about the funding? What about the personnel support, and so on and so on? You know what for that. Can just give us an excellent explanation on that. And then the last one, the Honorable Chairperson, is in connection with social workers. Seems to me that inside this report now, social workers is now shifting downward. And I know that we need the social workers to support the department, to support the communities, to support the NPOs, to support the CBOs and so on. What is the reason and what is the situation in connection with that last question? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I said that I had no questions because I looked at my colleague here and he had so many, but you did touch a lot of them, but the only basic thing that I actually want to try and understand is the Auditor General report gave a clean audit, which is to me that the finances, everything should be in order. What actually do worry me a bit that there is a lot of targets that is actually very far exceeded. Now, to exceed targets in specific programs, for instance, Program 3, for instance, none of the three performance targets were met, but 99.78% were spent. Now, I don't understand this. You spent almost all the money, but you did not meet one of the targets. And then on some of the others, you've, like, over-exceeded. And this is what I need to try and understand here. I'm not a financial guru or a guru on the books here, but what I need to know is, did they shift the money from one program to another program to actually exceed these targets? Because you need financial resources to exceed these targets. I can't understand that you, with the same personnel and with the same resources, will be able to handle all of a sudden three or four times more. So I need to know, the department must just explain that to me further. I don't have any questions.
Okay, here's another question. On page 27, there are four shelters piloted that piloted the framework for accreditation. Where are these pilots? Also, slide 35, you refer to psychosocial support. What does it entail? If you can just remind us in the committee, what does that entail? The psychosocial is number 35. On psychosocial support that is provided to you at the household. What does that entail? And the food bank, you've also overachieved on this, on the households that are assessing food.
Mm.
And how often do they get this food parcel? Are they getting the monthly, or quarterly, or once in a while? Then you can respond. Yes.
On food bank and food parcel, do you as a department maybe a check on how this food is stored? For how long must the department or whoever is keeping this food, for how long must she or he keep that food in his own possession so as to strip this food? I'm asking this question because in our rural areas where the social development office is, some of those offices, we were told by the communities that this food is kept in a garage or somewhere in one of the social development buildings, and when it starts to get rotten, then it goes to the people, because it's not they as social development people, they don't see it as valuable for them. Now they will start distributing. Do you have a target where you say, if you have taken so much food for and you put it in your storages, you must take so long to distribute. You must take maybe a week or 2 weeks to distribute it to the people.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I'm actually struck by the last comment from the honorable member. I would touch broadly, Chairperson, on the board cutting questions, and my colleagues will get to the integrity issues. May I just respond quickly to the last question? I'm not sure, honorable member, where that allegation comes from, but if it does happen, certainly it is not the policy of the department
or neither police or SWAPA to conduct itself in that session. May I just say that we had a big problem with the model that the food bank was using for two reasons. One, we were of the view that it is very costly in terms of the overheads, because they were actually using a model of food collection from the crops, like your big distribution outlets, your pick and pave and stuff. And our challenge was exactly that, to say if for the time they're going to spend a lot of money collecting food that is about to expire, if you look at the sell-by date, and then by the time it gets to the consumer, it might not be in good condition. So our model was more to focus on the acquisition of fresh produce from the local producers, so as stimulate economic growth as well, but also distributing it as quick as possible to the consumers. In fact, that's the model that we want to pursue now, which we have agreed to in terms of the recently approved strategy by Cabinet on household and food nutrition strategy. Now, if such incidents do happen, perhaps my colleagues also from SASA, because SASA handles a lot of distribution of food, I don't think that's something that is in the... Sometimes communities may make such allegations. We're not sure what informs that, but we can look into that. I think there are two main responses I wanted to make. I think because they are cross-cutting, I think let me table the issue of the 61% achievement of targets overall, and also the issue of 99% spending on budget and how do you then balance it. Certainly, I must say, we are not the department that has implemented the new performance measuring system as part of the outcome-based approach of government. We are all expected to set targets, the realistic targets, let me underline, that are in fact smart in terms of being simple, measurable, and all that. There are still challenges, because one of our bigger problems, which we have now begin to focus on, is the issue of management information, where we have very much accurate baseline in terms of what targets we can set on an annual basis over the medium term for tackling some of the critical issues that we need to deal with. Now, without integrity of information, it becomes very, very difficult to set targets, but we strive by all means. For instance, in areas like social assistance, where we have had baseline figures over a number of years, you could see variances were quite minimal, even in red terms. I mean, if you had to spend 112 billion and you only variance is just within a billion rand, it means percentage-wise you are actually quite spot on in terms of the projections that you make. But in other areas, we still have to perfect the issue of establishing appropriate baseline. So our targets may sound unrealistic in some instances, where, for instance, the question that was raised about how do you achieve three times what you actually targeted to achieve is an area that we really want to work on. Now, having said that, we have also had challenges in two main areas. The members will recall that government has embarked on a very ambitious project of social security reforms that looks at ensuring that this current fragmented system of benefits is actually streamlined, and we are able to patch the gaps that are there in the system in terms of, for instance, on repayment, where the majority of our people who are poor or earning nothing or very less or very little are not covered when they reach retirement age. So government looking into all that, looking at retirement reforms in terms of a government-sponsored, for instance, benefit scheme, where we'll ensure that everybody is covered when that time comes to take IKEFU. It's in line with the objective of implementing the social protection flow, so that we make sure no one is going hungry even if you stop working. Now,
We also had ambitions in terms of restructuring the system to get, at the time we drafted the strategy plan in APP, there was a proposal for a new Department of Social Security, and the work that had to come in terms of getting that off the ground. But unfortunately, it did not get a nod, and that therefore was a target that was not achieved. And there's a significant amount of spending that was set aside for that which could not be achieved. And lastly, we also, in the same program, we also had, I said this when I actually took over acting in around October in the year under review, that I think we might have been ambitious to think all the four areas of delivery or outcomes in terms of the establishment of the inspectorate could have been achieved in 1 year. Because in its own way, I mean, by nature, it's going to be a 3 to 5 year process. But we launched everything in 1 year as if we were going to achieve a lot. At the best, year one, we were to achieve policy review and review of relevant legislation to make sure that there's alignment of what the inspectorate is expected to do with other oversight institutions that are currently available, like your FIUs, your Auditor General, and all those, so that you say what will be the focus in terms of oversight over SARS. Now, we haven't been able to progress there in the year under review, partly because of funding, as well as indicated by Mr. Buteles. We had to try and shift money very late in the year to try and see if we can expedite certain processes there. But also, capacity constraints kicked in because we were even trying to get secondment of officials from critical departments like Justice and so on, NPA, to come and assist us. That process did not really succeed well in that year. So I wanted to raise that. Now, given that, one of the things we then do during the adjustment estimate, we shift money that we know for sure we are not going to spend to channel it to other priority areas. We mentioned Kwanda, and some of the, I think one of the members asked about Kwanda. Kwanda is a very, very important program for the Department of Social Development. It is actually a way of saying, I mean, there's been a lot of complaints about people not doing things for themselves that can sustain themselves. And what is it that people can harness in terms of their own social, economic, and human capital in order to do things from them? What assets do they have in community? Perhaps there are things that they can do. There are assets that they can actually utilize for better economic benefits. But people do not know, and they don't have guidance in terms of how to do things. How do they set together cooperatives? How do they come together as teams to work together towards economic prosperity? Now, what we then do in Rwanda, through TV programs, radio programs, we share across the board what people are doing in other areas. Now, I must have hastened to say that it was not all the provinces that were involved. It's only now that we are going to transfer, in this partnership with Seoul City, about another additional allocation of funds, I think, say, for example, about $5 million, just to add on the money that we've previously spent. And the government is spending very little. I mean, if I'm talking $5 million, Kwanda 2, for example, we call it Kwanda Phase 2, is going to cost about $45 million plus. But you can see this partnership very little contribute. But because of the importance of this program, it has been received quite positively by civil society, as well as Seoul City, the ones that we're partnering with. Lastly, Chairperson, the area I thought I should just indicate, I've spoken about the shifting of funds, which is something that is important. I will leave the other areas, for instance, appeals from my colleagues who can talk to. Virginia, I think, and Frank will talk to that issue and how we are handling it in order to improve the percentage coverage within the 90 days that has been allocated. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Didi. As it was my previous position, and my colleague is will help him out. What had happened, the majority of appeals are on disability grants. So what happens in SASA is that when a person arrives with the disability grant, they are then sent to the doctor for their medical. we've had lots of problems with just not being able to read them at all. They're just such poor quality, then you have to go back to the hospital to try and get a copy, a more decent copy. We've had, obviously, there have been missing documentation and files. As a result of that, very late last year, SASA and the PO got together and decided protocol to try and assist in this problem. What we have now is the minute we turn down a grant of that nature, we would then fax, we will send them a scanned-in copy straight away for filing. So in case it comes up as an appeal, it will position the appeal to authority to deal with it faster. You will recall that this year ended in March, obviously, last year, and this protocol has just come into agreement now. And we did that because we could see the difficulties. You must remember SAS has got a very large footprint of offices and file tracking across the country, because the appeal authority is in Pretoria. To get things to them, sometimes they are delayed. So I would like to see that percentage actually increases in this year. We should have achieved more than we did last financial year because of the protocol that we have signed in order to facilitate. Because lots of our people struggle with disability grants. They go to doctors. Doctors do, right? However, eligible to a whole lot of delayed people who have to deal with it. But also, it's a separate document and a separate process. So to try and pull it together, we're saying to our officials, when you turn that down, scan it in and copy it to the appeals authority. If people then don't appeal, we would say, and then be silent. So we're just trying to facilitate a better process for the future. Thanks.
Can I just respond overall to the finances? And if you just take up slide 51, for instance. The department every year finds itself in a position whereby, and the question it also came up last year with regards to underachievement of targets, yet you almost spend the entire budget. Every year we found ourselves that we need to reprioritize the budget in terms of our priorities. And if we turn the inverse of this is that if we have to achieve all our targets, the department is totally underfunded. That's the real truth. So the discussion is on its way with the Treasury that the department is underfunded, because if you speak to colleagues, the DGs around the table, they're not achieving all the outputs. There's not sufficient funding for all those outputs. And it's year in, year out, an issue of reprioritization when we go into the adjustment budget. So I just want to make sure that colleagues understand that fact also, because last year the same question came up. Mm-hmm. With regards to those small issues on the audit report, those issues were reported in the management letter, and we've actually put a management action plan together. In terms of those issues, we know for a fact it's those small issues in the supply chain area where a document wasn't there, a quotation was missing, those things. We've actually taken staff members to task. We've got a committee called the Loss Control Committee which we refer all these matters to, and actually start getting disciplined in that regard. So thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair and honourable members. I'll deal with questions for Program 3. I'll start with the one that was raised on older persons' community-based care. I think for the year under review, as indicated in the report, we registered 104. This is the program that we are advocating in province because it is easily accessible and affordable, as it is stipulated in the Act. So what are we going to do to expand? Every year we plan to register more, but we really need to go aggressive and mobilize communities, because it's communities that establish this program. But it's our support, of course. Then we go in and register in terms of the legislation so that we function optimally and they get funding from us as a department. So there is a plan. Each year we are registering an average of 150 community-based care programs. The second one on the white paper on families. Yes, the white paper was approved by Cabinet last year. when we went to cabinet, we already had an implementation plan, an integrated implementation plan that was accompanying the paper when it was approved. And the implementation plan also includes national departments and also all the 9 provinces. What is interesting is that we also have a coordinating structure which will share social development to facilitate implementation of the white paper. There will be no legislation for now coming out of the white paper itself. What happens is that it serves as a framework. Departments, including ours, we've got different legislation that speaks to family issues based on their mandate. So the white paper will just give a broad overview or a broad framework in terms of how services need to be delivered for families. Substance abuse, we finalize regulations during the reporting period to operationalize a legislation called Prevention of and Treatment of Substance Abuse. That was already finalized way back in 2008, but the regulations were not finalized. So they were finalized during the reporting period. It provides guidance on the how part, on the sections that are proposed in the Act, and the way in which the Act should be implemented. So the details are found in the regulation. Provinces have been trained. We also have plans developed to implement, because this legislation also speaks of the role of other national government departments, the Department of Justice, for instance. So we work with them within the Central Drug Office to ensure that the legislation is implemented. The Act has been in operation since the 1st of April, 2013. The issue of VP shelters, we visited 4 just to check the accreditation framework. This is in response to the human trafficking legislation that is managed through the Department of Justice. So as a social development, we have a big role to play. One of the mandates is that we need to develop an accreditation system. So this is what we're testing, where it will work after we finalize the accreditation framework. So the shelters were in the Northern Cape, Mpumalanga and Eastern Cape. I don't have the specific names, but I can find the for the committee members, but what I know that is in 3 provinces, because we have 13 shelters countrywide that are used to accommodate victims of human trafficking, that are security compliance in terms of what we need to see, because we believe that a victim of human trafficking should be treated differently than any other victim because of the nature of the trafficking itself. The social workers, yes, we need more. For instance, the NGP proposes that we need 55,000. We need to confirm that number, whether we need more or less, or the very 55. What we have done, we finalized workload management so that we can determine the numbers that we need. Currently, with scholarship, we produce an average 1,003 per year commission rate. And we, with the scholarship, we are chasing a target of 20,000. This number is based on the costing of the Children's Act and other policies and legislation in the department. So hence, I say we need to determine the right numbers we need, because we still need more social workers to deal with the social ills. The other area was on ECD as to what are the funding requirements or registration requirements. The Children's Act itself stipulates the norms and the standards in terms of how partial care services should be registered, including ECD. However, we have developed guidelines that will provide guidance in terms of what do you do if you want to start an ECD, or if you are running an ECD for you to be registered and be funded. What we have noticed is that most of our ECDs in rural areas, they are in a state where they cannot meet certain norms, because they are either behind. So what we have done, we have looked at the basics as to what is it that will not put children at risk, so that we provide a first level of registration, so that we give you a one-off funding for you to be able to pick up and be able to progress and meet certain standards, so that you can go to level 2 and then because we call that conditional registration. It's not full registration, but we're saying to you, we recognize you are providing service to our children. However, there are certain things we need to meet, bare minimum, so that issues of safety are key for our children, issues of nutrition, and the place where, even if it's in the garage, it must be a garage that is safe. So if there are facilities that you know that are registered in a shed, we will need to have those so that we investigate, because you need, but also health inspectors, they assist us, they check whether the structure is okay in terms of occupation. They would not provide a certificate if that shed is not really conducive for occupation. So we also do not issue a registration certificate, be it conditional or full, when the report from health inspector is not supporting it.
Thank you very much. I've got two questions. The other ones, I think the DGF tried to answer it on the issue of security. One of the responsibilities that the department has in HIV and AIDS is the issue of the prevention of new HIV-AIDS infection through behavioral change programs, but specifically focusing on the social issues that promote HIV and AIDS, which includes issues of alcohol, substance abuse, etc. So the programs for the prevention will be dealing with those to change the behavior of people so that they should not do that. Hence, they will forget to prevent HIV and AIDS or the contribution thereof. Second one is the worst one. People that are affected and they are infected. So the department has been given a role to mitigate the impact of the HIV and AIDS. One of which is that several times, and I think the studies have shown that you get people that commit suicide, others become irresponsible because they don't know how to deal with the disease. One becomes that the mother passed on, or the parents, both of them, pass on. Children are left there. On the other side, communities start saying in this house, all the people that they passed on due to HIV and AIDS. And it becomes that problems that we have within society. And the role of social development is then to begin to deal with the problems of providing counseling for both community-wise, so that they are HIV-AIDS competent in terms that they are able to deal with the problem and accept it. And on the other side, the affected one, the children that are left, they need to be given psychosocial support. I think it's the counseling, handling, ensuring that they understand and are able to deal with that. That's what we call psychosocial support in terms of what we do. How it is done practically is that within communities, we appoint NPOs that appoint care workers. These care workers go to houses. Now you will realize, I think this question was also linked to target 13,036. It so happened that when you have appointed the care workers to go within communities, many people die. And the target is based on last year's, it's not a very scientific target that we set. It's based on last year's achievement. Then this year many people die. Therefore you will then get a lot. It is an indication, it's a fact of that the issue. The scale of HIV and AIDS is much more broader, and I think continually we will have to look at that. But I think this indicates that the need is much more. So you care workers will go house to house and providing the services. They find households that don't have parents. Time, whether they came last year or they came last month, this month they find that the father was passed on last time. This time the mother passed on. Now they will then take that family and then provide the psychosocial support on a continuous basis, which is basically the counseling of those kids that are there. And this is a wheel, actually. One of the things that we begin to look to do is a study to look at the extent in which the effects of HIV/AIDS are. Actually, in the study that was done long time ago, it was indicated that by 2010, we would have lost so many people, and I think that you can see through the little bit of a window that we get, you can see the real impact of HIV within communities. The second part was the issue of the issue of food security. There are many forms. The issue that is that communities, family households are provided with food through SRD, that SASA does. The other one is through the food that are provided to individuals that are hungry, especially in the Western Cape. If you look at the site, you find that over 100, just under 300
households access food in Western Cape. They provide food through the what you call community nutrition development centers, where people come and eat. So we are in the next financial year going to roll it in throughout the country to deal with that. The issues of the rotten food, I think it's also just something that we need to look at so that we prevent those things happening. But I think the whole approach is that people that are hungry and don't have food need to be provided food, cooked food, if it's near where they can provide, or they provided food parcels. Thank you.
The last one is 90, 95, no, why not 100 for the CSGs? I think with the new scheme that FASA introduced, they did the re-registration. With the re-registration, they achieved good results on more than 90-something percent. There were some of the grant that had to be cancelled. People that both have not become one. That's a difference that is there on the percentage. But I think they are the better people that when they present, they're going to present that talent.
Yes.
No, it's not your question, sir. It's just to say that we know all this presentation tells us how much this department is at national level. But I've got a serious problem with the implementation at lower level. That's my problem. I'm not sure, for instance, when they talk of the inspector rate, if it's possible for this department to establish their own office to inspect or to check as to whether implementation of all these good policies and plans is taking place in future. Because that's my main problem, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Chairperson, it's not a new question, but just for clarity. The 36253, that is 8 counter. Just for my understanding. And then in the situation of the prioritizing of the budget, I understand that all the departments, not only this one, is underfunded. Because there's not enough money from the first person, from financial department. Now, but my understanding is you put in a proposal from your department to finance. And then the finance department will say to you that we can allocate this amount, and then you must prioritize your budget before structure. Yes. Now my question is, if you plan for say 66 NPOs to be funded, now you reach now 99. So that is the confusion I've got. Can you just explain that?
Thank you again, the chairperson and the committee members. We'll proceed straight away with our presentation. Thank you. The purpose obviously is to reflect on the 2012-13 annual report and also to raise key administrative challenges confronted by SAPMA in its operations. Our overview will obviously look at the program performance and the achievements of 2012-13 strategic priorities, budget and expenditure for the year under review, and a summary of all the outcomes and challenges. I'll go straight to the mandate. Chair, you are familiar with our mandate, obviously derived from the SAPA Act, and our vision expresses itself as a leading the delivery of social security services
The mission is to administer quality, customer-centric social security services eligible and potential beneficiaries, and by now it's within a Njalo. The priorities for 2012 to 2013 were obviously excellent customer care. We will remember that the planning is over a three-year cycle, so what contained in was carried over during the 3 years, and the new year in terms of planning would have started, will start in April. Automation of systems, improving organizational capacity, and promoting good governance. The strategic objective for SATA in this reporting period is to ensure that eligible beneficiaries receive benefits due to them, to improve the quality of service delivery to our customers, achieve a fully integrated and automated social assistance service, and to ensure SATA is optimally capacitated for optimal service delivery. Now, in terms of our service delivery network, and I think it's always important to reflect on that, I think the important thing is to look at local offices, because it's spread right across the country. There's 335 of those. And then to look specifically at our service points. Now, I know some of the members would know that service points operate on a 1 or 2 day basis. We have found that in a lot of the areas, especially the informal areas, as it's growing, that we would have to look particularly at that 902 service points and convert them into 5-day-a-week offices. This has been exceedingly challenging for us, that more and more people are coming towards the informal area. You look at Ivory Park, you look at areas where we were going once or twice a week, and we would be getting more of our complaints. So I think SATA in its forward planning will have to actually take the service point, so you'll see a decrease, you'll see an increase in local offices, and that's why I stopped there for just a second. Could we move on? During the period under review, we've obviously worked excessively on trying to improve our beneficiary experience. At the end of that financial year, we had 16.1 million grants in claimants. I think the centerpiece of the year under review was the re-registration project. It was the largest project embarked on by any single government entity in the shortest possible space of a year. It was a massive engagement of trying to have a face-to-face contact with almost 22 million people. That in itself impacted some of our plan targets, because before we would have said, oh, we will review 1 million people. But this meant looking at the entire database, so it changed the way our targets are reflected during that year. But you will see the 69% achievement. And obviously the implementation of a new payment tender will feed most of our time during that year. In terms of our performance, to improve the reach to qualifying social assistance beneficiaries, you will see that 9.2 million new beneficiaries, it was an increase from 13.5 million to the 16 million. I want to give an understanding of how the numbers work in SATA, because you started the year with a base number. You would also have temporary disability grantees coming off, so children learning 18 coming off, foster kids coming off, CSG kids, and then you start recruiting new people as they become eligible in terms of age or need. And that's why the numbers during the year might climb back high and then drop towards the taper off. We achieved 1.2 million new applications, taking it up to 16.1. 11.9 are children's grants, 2.8 million are older parents' grants, 1.1 million are disability grants, and 787. Those are the war veterans that are continue to decline because of age and death. Then 73,000 are in grants and aid recipients. This is one grant that we obviously have to promote a lot more during this year. We find a lot of older persons over the age of 75 actually needing a 1 day a week support. And this amount, all the year 300 rand, could really assist older people who need someone just to go to the shop for them. And then obviously 863,000 of the grants were lapsed due to death, voluntary cancellation, or re-registration and review. The trend, I think the most important fact that we're looking at here is the declining trend of grants. If you look at what it was in 2008, it was 5.2% year on year, that's annual growth. Then 2009-10, it was 7.5%, then obviously 2010-11 was 6.2%. Then you see 2011-2012. And then you see 2012 to 2013 where we read, you see the impact but also just strengthening our processes in ASSA. We must be honest that we have looked at the process of how, I think some of the declining grants would have been even disability grants. We have to be honest that while people are coming forward, not everybody comes to the system because they don't comply. And we have better systems protecting that right now. Please move on. Could you just fly over that slide? Thank you. This is just an unfair province of the different grants for members to know how the different provinces are faring in terms of grant types. You will see that Caltech, because KZN is the largest drawer, but you will see Caltech coming up more and more. There's more people migrating to Caltech. While still have Eastern Cape as being the second largest, you would find Caltech and Limpopo, the new trend of where grantees are going. Thank you. Our benefits, as I said before, the decrease, we've talked about the decrease in war veterans, disability, foster care, and foster care is linked actually to a cleanup process of the foster care. We actually have court orders there in the court case that gives us a period of time till this year to try and get all the orders made by court of child to be in foster care, and we're working on that right now. There's a particular project. Old age grant, 4.5% growth, so we see that. Disability grants, again, as we said before, there's a little bit more rigor. We have found some of the doctors, and this is linked to fraud, and we must be honest about it. Some of the doctors were just actually issuing paperwork at cost. And we've had investigations in the Free State, and we have asked to go and report it. It's unacceptable what has happened. So I must say that our systems are improving. But you'll see decreases, which we consider good against the backdrop of giving reassurance to the taxpayers that are actually paying the right people this time. Please move on. The standardization of process. We used to have 6 steps to do it. 4 steps here, 3 steps here, and we've now made all provinces do it in the same way to get uniformity. In order to achieve the 21-day turnaround, of which 90% of applications are now processed within. We'd like it to be closer to the 100%, but I think we've grown a lot from where we come. But what about standardizing the office and the process in the office? The core step is the process we want to use. Obviously, automation in the future might bring that down to 3 steps when we fully automate it. And we could then even reduce the 21 days. But right now, as we situate this, the current tool, operational tools, we have still at 4 steps and 21 days. Local office and service points, I have said that we would actually look at service points in the future to create more local offices, but just to say, this is not infrastructure chairperson. We really struggling to get the last of these done. We have done 95, where we have targeted 72. I want to try and get to the current offices as quickly as we can to upgrade them. For people who have visitors and upgraded offices, we'd have those airport benches, we'd have cubicles for some confidentiality. We're working on it. Sometimes public works has rated us a bad situated office. You can't do anything about it. You actually have to go and find another place to go and spend your money because it would be unwise with the lead premises we have. We've also shared a lot with DSB. They're trying to put us up, no disrespect, in the provinces because the factor is growing in intense. So we have that little bit of tension, but public works is not really as well. They try. They should leave it there. But we need better support and we need to actually look at how we procure offices for SATA in the future, perhaps in a different way, because it's not working quite at this moment. You will see how much we spend on our pay points. Pay points, we have more than 9,000, and 692 have been upgraded. There's also odd ones here that I'm unhappy about. That is there on the Eastern Cape in the middle of an outdoor space. We've got to change that. We're constantly auditing where they are and saying, because we're taking over pay points. Remember before, the service providers used to manage payments. SATA, as it takes over the ownership of the payment of grants, would have to do that. Re-registration chairs, I think that was the singular greatest achievement we feel, because it was very hard, very painful at times, where more than 20.7 million came forward. These are people who received the 16 million grant, and I want to explain why 20.7. They are procreators for the Gogos who can't go themselves, and various other people on the system, so we have to take their full biometric data. We collected data, Home Affairs did not have any children's biometric data, they're very happy. We've done base work for them now. They have a database of children. When those children actually reach 16 and start applying for their ID, it would give them some leverage from which to work. So despite us investing in this project for ourselves, and to obviously have a better audit report and know who we pay, it also helps in our government department in the acquisition of biometric data. My certificate for all beneficiary children and procurators were what we came away with. The SASA card, you will remember, we also issued the SASA card as part of the new tender. In terms of saving 150 million per annum, the number obviously has increased because we also have voluntary cancellations. People, while we were re-registering, they just came and said, I don't want this grant. And what we've actually done is pushed up our investigation at an alarming rate. Because you can't accept it as a voluntary cancellation. You must see if fraud lives behind someone just coming in. With certain areas, I found people standing in lines, and I said, why, is this the application for the day? And they said, no, this is a cancellation for the day. So it did raise issues with us, and it raised the number for investigation. The re-reg, we will say approximately how many recipients came forward. Are you supposed to go through? Thank you. That was just job creation, temporary job creation during the time. Use young people to support us. Okay, that was enough. The new payment contract is biometric. It has a UEPF card. The card operates off a debit card. You can go to USave, ShopRite Checker. You can draw it there. You can go to an ATM. You can draw your money from off the midnight on the 1st. You don't have to wait 3 weeks. We are obviously looking at getting more service providers in the back office and to take over this function, where the local grocers in rural communities will also have this ability, because we don't want our people to travel that far into the city centers, which they have into, and also to spread the money across, because you put all the money in one space. So at the moment there's about 3,500 vendors in addition to the 22,000 ATMs that exist through the bank that are using our distribution. 16 million grants, as I said before. Just to give you an understanding of the payment channels that people use. PayPoint, that's our traditional community hall. Those, 26% of our beneficiaries are using those at the moment. Retail point of sale. That's a point of sale device where it is a specialized merchant with a biometric unit in it, or your pick and pay shop price. 36% and then 38% are using ATMs to draw. At the moment, we probably in the first 10 days, we're literally getting through almost 90% of our beneficiaries, because people are using all these new avenues. Next page. As I said before, you can go, you don't have to wait in your province until they come to deliver the pension. You can travel to your daughter in Joburg from Mpumalanga, you can just use your card. So we've made the savings, the city rand is 1644, which is the transaction cost, and we believe in the future the government would like to reduce that. Data has been the most important thing that SATA has gained during this year of re-reg. And the new card. We have automated intelligence, something we did not have before. Maybe the word intelligence scares people. That is just, I can tell you at the end, or not even in the mid-morning of the first day, 1.5 million have drawn. I can tell you where they've drawn. I can look at the issues around that. This is something we didn't have before. We can track, there are issues with deductions. We can track exactly where the Gogo band child actually bought the airtime. But she said, no, my child, I don't have the cell phone. You have a Google, someone in your house for the airtime, not outside your house. We're going to have to, you know, so there are things that we can also reverse things like that. There's a lot that we have that we didn't have before. fraud management, you can understand by the numbers cancellation, how the fraud management is actually getting external resources to help us. Initially we use it as an emergency because it was just happening too fast. We now have a senior contract or additional help. Because the point is not to get a full-time huge establishment, because we still have to clear up with DSD, who's going to do what in the inspectorate, and who's going to do what at SASS. Because DSD will be across, whether it's the NPO, ECD, products from NDA, and SASS. We also need to know in SASS, because of our volume, what we will investigate ourselves. I plus our outreach. We try to go to the smaller areas. I must say, I now have a very good understanding of the hills and the dales and the small communities in this country, because we've literally gone there. We've been out there every weekend, an entire year, trying to reach our people. And it's sad, the stories. It's sad, the stories. When people complain about food, we have seen poor people who haven't seen food. So we must understand that people are out there. They're far from an office. So if we don't have this ICROP, we would be doing our people a disservice, because they are out there. We call down the hills in KZN down to Echo, but can't even move something, but she's got the 10 children she has to see. And those child-headed households have now become youth-headed households because the children have grown up. The eldest child is no longer under 18. The eldest child is 21, 24, 25, and not working. So we do have those incidents now. I can pull this together in 5 minutes. All to say, the automation, I've explained it a little bit along. Thank you. Go. Just to say fraud, we currently, I think the biggest challenge not finding out that there's fraud, currently is dealing with the officials who have committed the fraud. I think the way we are structured in the public service is a great protectionism for officials. We would have to get other people to assist us managing the disciplinaries to get to convictions, because what will happen, you will call in a presiding officer from another department, say, to manage or oversee the disciplinaries. They give the person a slap on the wrist. 7 months later or a year later, that person is going to be found guilty in court. Now that incongruence will have to be managed this year. I close down offices, we find at more than 80%, and then you get a disciplinary process that slaps the official on the wrist, can't see all the work he's doing. It will undermine government's intention to deal with it. So this is one of the areas. So as the sentences have become longer, that's one thing we've noticed. Because our investigation has involved the police in certain areas, like housing, we have police sitting in the office working with us on the matters. So if you have a good investigation on your case, you'll get a good conviction. And it has to be a deterrent. Because it can't be that syndicates are using your ID, your address. That can't work. They tell me at taxi ranks, they're going and paying 50 rand. And people obviously in the Europa will need a grant, but they're on the system already. So there is a lot of work to be done. Moving on. I just wanted to speak to the stage on legal services. You will see that the Eastern Cape was more than anticipated than the last financial run for 2 minutes. But just to say, the reason for that is these cases come on from 2006. Justice is only starting to bill us now. For these cases, we have decreased in litigation. We turned a grant in 21 days. But the history of FASA, when FASA became FASA in 2006, those bills are coming out, and we have the same thing happened to CETA, where there was this gentle person's agreement between DSD, the mother body, and CETA. For example, we are having to start formalizing the contractual obligations of these agreements. So this is easy. Organizational capacity, a total of 951 positions were filled to augment our capacity. Our issue is, until CASA has the end-to-end solution to take over the payment, only then will it start be what it should be. While we're paying CPS to do half of the work, we cannot have a staff establishment that is 50,000. We have to plan our work, because currently there's a staff establishment proposed at 18,000. That was the standard. We will never get to that while we pay a service provider to do half work. So when that changes, when the 5-year contract level, whatever term that is, we will then have to do that. But all to support our workers have become more vulnerable to fraud. We've had workers come and say how a syndicate approached them, and they saw money being counted in the kitchen of one of the guys who in prison came and explained how easy it was to pay there, but there's a lot of money in the tax office, and they wanted to know when this is what you want in, this is what you have to do. So it starts there, and we deal with it every day. The budget is very quickly, Chair. Can we just go to the slide? Thank you. You will see our administrative budget, so in DSC budget, they talked to the gone slide. We got 6.1. You'll see there was no increase, annual increase. In fact, we shed some money during the year under review. To speak to the expenditure of it, the employees in terms of what we had available, 99% was spent. I want to speak to the other expenditure more, Chair, so we understand what that was about. The tax is right at the bottom, the 30%. Cars that Tata needed, but did not order, because we were dealing with Treasury. Treasury says a car must be 1.38. But where Tata has got to travel to go for a service point. Okay, man, I'm going to cut it off. It requires a 1.6. It's a car. So after we finish all that debate, the car is in agreement now on the two types of cars we use. That money will be moved over because it looks like a saving and everybody's after it. No. We'll buy some 4x4s, some 2x4s, and some smaller cars with 1.6 capacity. Just go on. Just the challenges. The auditor general gave us an unqualified report, but he assisted in the clean audit for DSC. there were matters. I think you might say that the court case is a challenge matter. The court case will be heard on the 11th of February. We've submitted our paperwork to the Constitutional Court. We await the outcome that will guide the further work that HASA will have to do to deal with this challenge. Thank you.
For the presentation that we have given, you know, CEO, when she gives us this report, she becomes so excited, and you want to be in that position also as a person, to be excited as she is. But really, really, when you speak about the issues of SASA on the ground, they're not as excited as you show here, but we know that what brings some of those. my question is not on the presentation. I thought you were going to speak about this thing that I saw in the Daily Dispatch yesterday, the proof of life certification. Because I don't understand. I took the page out of the Daily Dispatch yesterday just to read on it, because I was with my NEC the time when we were reading this, and we thought, I don't know if there is any strategy or any plan to implement this. That is now. Do we have now a plan, or is going to be is it going to take us a little bit later? But also the thing of this airtime thing, I'm not sure how I'm going to solve it, because it's within the family. It's happening within our families, and if you speak about it, that you correct it today, tomorrow the child does the same thing to. You see, you really don't know what is happening for. I don't know what can you do. And also the children that I've got two families in my area, but I think that the social development people are attending to them. I'm not sure if it you know, I'm coming from a small area. I'm thinking of a bigger area now that has got the same problems of children that lost their parents. But their parents were working parents, teachers, police, taxi drivers, and people with money. And now when you get to, you look at the situation and how it is handled by the families, you feel so sorry because everybody is running for the money. When the money is finished, no one is looking after those children. If they are still young and the money is gone now with the family and there is nothing, absolutely nothing, are they still eligible to get something from the Department of Social Development? Because I'm afraid to be seen like a stupid person when I go to look for money for them to be looked after, because they are still, some of them are still school children, you see, and they don't know where the money is. The municipality sometimes will switch off their lights and water, and you have to intervene in those things. But I think there is something that a plan, or maybe you can guide me on something. Please guide me on that. Thanks, Chair.
No, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, let me start by saying yes. Convictions on death for from officials, you say they are visible. Do we have any recovery ways? Secondly, I read somewhere where the wasteful expenditure is referred to traffic fines. Who pays this traffic fines? And I don't understand, just there. Is it not the person himself who should be paying for those traffic fines? And I don't know, maybe if it's not allowed, it's that we have this litigation details as per the provinces outlined to us, so that we are able to monitor also, or is it something that you care? The vacant post, as you said, is a challenge also. I don't know what to say, but just propose that we try and make sure that we really appoint, because that's how we're going to be able to account. Lastly, I'm not sure, maybe if I was not here when this thing about this company that's paying the contract that you have contracted and the deduction of 100 rand airtime, because this very weekend we had a meeting in my area and there was this gogos who came to me still crying about the airtime money that is being deducted. I'm not sure if it was explained in the meeting, Chairperson, but I read about it, I heard about it. Can we just catch in short what is actually happening? How do they really are able to do that? In that when the gogos are being paid, there are some deductions in their money. We understand you are working on it, and maybe when the term ends, the company will no longer be recommended. But what happened actually? So that you are able to explain to them as they come to us. Is there any way that they are going to be paid back that money? Because they don't know what is happening, but they just say lamenting over their money that they get. Otherwise, no. Thumbs up for NASA. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Looking on you. Yes, straight to the question. The question is, the first one is in connection with gender respect. My information is that the office was closed, yes, right. Now, can you give us if that is the truth? Because I wasn't there. If this is the truth, what brings you to that decision? Was there an audit done? And also, how will the people in Jeffrey's Bay now access the services of SAFA? Because they're struggling now. Actually, the other one, chairperson, is in connection with the 2011 and 12. The department wasn't fully operational due to financial constraints. Now, I want to find out, was it the same in the 2012-2013 or what? Then the third question on the chairperson is in connection with the litigation. Now, the risk management of this litigation. Do you have measures in place to try and address this problem? And this litigation is not only exist in this department, but also in other departments as we are going along as members of this select committee. And then in relation to the fruitless and wasteful expenditure and also the irregular expenditure, the risk management there, do you have that risk management in place and the measures, and what is it? And then the last question, Honorable Chairperson, in connection with the same one my colleague was asking, this one. Now I understand the voice and so on, the fingerprints and so on. But when a Bogo or somebody who's actually the beneficiary died, so they captured my voice because the Bogo could not go there. Right? Now the Bogo died or somebody died. But on the system my voice is held there. But I will carry on drawing money. Is that a situation? If not, what measures do you have in place in that relation?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, for your guidance and also for your question. Thank you, Chair. I just need money, maybe more a question of clarity. I need to know that there was over expenditure of the budget, as I understand. But then I don't understand in the same way, because there was a request for rollover of the surplus of 341 million that was submitted to National Treasury. Now, if there was a rollover, which SASA asked for, I mean, if you only, you know, if you spend more money than you had, how can you ask for a rollover from the previous year? This I just need to have clarity on, if you understand what I'm saying. If our financial guru can just help me on that explanation, because I mean, if I spend more money than I had, how can I ask for a rollover from the previous year? That just doesn't make sense to me.
Am I correct? I see
and the question that I left is related to
his input. The court anti-poverty, the unit that's located within the deputy president, it deals with poverty.
Yes.
What is it called? Yonaleo kind of Yonaleo. What I want to know, because I don't see any reference or any reporting about that, because I know social development is also a partner to that. It's an integrated program. So when are you going to report to us about this particular program? Because we want to know whether it's succeeding to assist the people on ground in terms of changing their situation. So can you please tell us why? Because I know some of the projects that we have mentioned here in the report are also were also part of that program, like your food bank and other things here. But we want a bit of an explanation of this particular program as the Department of Social Development. That would be all. Yes.
The whole question that I want to ask you talk, ma'am, about. You talked about the you gave us on one slide the number of grant benefits and you gave us the province. Then I want to know if there is any decline. If you say Gauteng is getting more dependent now, do you see any decline in any other provinces maybe?
Yeah.
This last question on the war room and then I'll stop.
The two that we have, I think one is the question, I think Honorable Civilians kept me asking the question about the numbers. I think one of the things, I just want two things to clarify, is that some of these things are estimates, but however, it is true that in certain instances, when you over exceed your target, it's got financial implications. But remember, within the state budget, you have a lot of room. The PPMA allows you to move within a program. You can move shift funds around or between programs. If you have a setting in another program, you can. But we, in fact, I want to just say that we're trying now hard to get more of the things we deliver on to put them in our APP. Because there's a lot of work we do in our operational plans that not even captured in the APP. So sometimes you find that when you want to report them in the annual report, then the AG says, no, but it was not in your APP. It's a technical issue. Because you can't really do only what is in that booklet. There's a lot that you do that you may probably not share with the committee because it was not in the APP. With regard to this particular one on the... beyond poverty, I will ask Mr. Makasela to quickly give an account. But rural development is now in charge of that particular, that we had a good linkage and work together with them. But Mr. Makasela, if there's something I want to add, I will add.
Oh, thank you, Chair. It is true. The war on poverty, if I may just say, no longer exists. The current administration decided against the framing of our work in that sense. However, the work that is still coordinated in the Office of the Deputy President has then shifted to the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, and it basically continues doing the same kind of work that is being undertaken there. Two important things to mention is that the Department of Rural Development has the comprehensive rural development strategy, as well as the training of young people through the program called NELSEC, National Rural Youth Development Corps, and through the strategy and those young people, they continue profiling predominantly rural areas, and when they come into a household, they still provide a referral system to other government departments to bring in the services. So if they walk into a household, for instance, and find that a child does not have a birth certificate, they will bring in home affairs. If they walk into a household and find that the old granny is having certain challenges with the old age grant, they will bring on board SASA. If they come into a household and find that there are children that are orphaned that need the type and kind of intervention that social development is responsible for, they will do that accordingly. If the children have problems related to schooling, etc., they still, the rural development through NARESEC, coordinate now that kind of thing. Importantly though, rural development is not working on their own by themselves. They now report and are accountable to the social cluster, where on a continuous basis are able to report on the progress that they are making and also highlighting to several departments that are part of the cluster the continuing work in terms of the referrals that are being made, that department is still continuing. In short, the name changed, but the work continues basically as it was, and the responsibility is now with rural development and Lemus Form. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's proceed. Just in terms of the advertisement of life, proof of life, what you said with the full biometric was to take the 10 fingerprints, to issue a smart card, and it's got a chip which has information about the biometric on it. The reason for going out and saying that was also to deal with what was called the dormant account, where lots of money was lying in the large banks in South Africa, of government, because of the police with someone like that. The way the voice verification is, 7 million voice prints have been captured. We obviously had to go back office and clean out who we were taking off so we could take them off, the first lot. Secondly, now is to make sure that we Google phones. It recognizes the prints we got. If she doesn't phone, she can go to a PayPoint and use her other biometric tools. So if someone dies and they're not going to call us, and the money will not be released, you have to phone to get the money released into their account. So we have a voice print on system. You phone, it recognizes that voice, it makes the connection, the money goes to. If you don't do that, you can still go to a pay point and just swipe your card and get your money. Lots of the people have opted out of their bank account. Why have they done this? Because they say they don't get 100% of their money back. Because I can pay bank charges. Go with me every day as my child. How can I get all my money? Besides, in my manager, and I'll come to the microloan. Because when I go, she's wanting to find out what's my balance, the bank charges are. So there's a change in the culture and in the environment of our customers now. And we've got to recognize that as better and be current in the way we want to manage our business. We have said from the beginning, we're first to biometric enrollment, we'll issue the card, we'll take the picture, we'll collect the voice data, we will first take off the people who shouldn't be on the system. 650,000 came off the system this year, towards the end of last year, 2013. Not under the supporting time. Now, we couldn't put their voice on. So when you come across the voice of someone who's taken off, we've got to take their voice out of the system. So there's a lot of cleaning up we have to do. And that's why we've run our data against Home Affairs. It's coming with an 88% verification rate. We now have to obviously investigate the remaining files. But 88% on the data we have collected in the re-reg. It's a good stat, but I prefer it to be 98. But we're working on it. But you could not just load voice until we have made sure that you perhaps could have come out. And when you die and you not, you could say, sir, and I'm sure Chairperson, through you, that someone recorded Gogo's voice and tried to feed that into the phone. You know, we, for everything we do as a, some thief is trying to undermine the integrity. That is why risk is very important, and that issue was raised. When I came to SAPLA, there was a drop risk register. We were compelled to bring in a company to help us with that word risk reduction and mitigation. Currently what we have heat maps of where all the risk is in, whether it's supply chain risk, whether it's security risk, whether it's payment risk. We currently have heat maps for that. What we're currently doing with the service provider and the executive managers is developing a plan to mitigate the risk. So that's where we are now. We look at risk on many levels in our organization. Biometric enrollment by the staff will run their data against the beneficiary data in future. So we can check staff against the biometric enrollment. We every month download our information and send it to our office to do a run. We check the ID. If the IDA is real, duplicate, and we can tell you how many duplicates should we pick up, right? Duplicate.
Yeah.
200,000 duplicates we picked up. What is also where we had people going in other countries in the beginning of the process. Now we can say we're down to less than 0.20% from where we started. So I think the re-rage route was very taxing on the staff. It was painful for some of our seniors. And it hurt a lot that we had to go out and buy food where machines actually went down or photocopiers were working. What it does, the reward for others, government, in our integrity of our data, but also for the beneficiaries who have the card now, has made difference. And so paying for produce was worth it. In terms of our strategy to deal with deductions, micro-lending, or manager, what we have done, we've mixed with... Did I say that wrong?
What we've done...
We have met with the National Credit Regulator, with the FSB, with Financial Services Board, VPI, Treasury. We've looked at everybody's responsibility, including the Reserve Act. Everybody's responsibility, not just that by itself. So what is your role, National Credit Regulator, is to check if that person is registered to borrow money. Because up in a pay point, you can have up to 45 different micro-lenders. Even though we have a perimeter, and they stand on the perimeter, they are there. We are appointing, finally, it's taken a long time to appoint the inspectors. Are they coming finally? Oh, that's long, because we didn't have jobs like that in Texas. So finally, we're getting inspectors for payment. Now, we will have to check on the legitimacy of the person providing credit. You see, what happens is you have a file, it's called a payment file. Now you give this to our service provider, CDS, and you'll see that aggregators, there are less than 100 aggregators in the country, they collect on all micro-lending, on behalf of all micro-lenders, a lot of them. So they give them a payment file, like a bank institution file. They then deduct off the set of the bank account. So Google will say, no, Intercom, no, my child, they told me a lot, you didn't take that micro-lending thing from this person. Then we investigate, because you see in 36 hours we can reverse. We can ask the service provider and the bank to reverse. You will discover that Google was guarantor for children, and sometimes really real things like school uniform, child going to university, they use their ID and the tax card and guarantee for the loan. In the end, the rest of the families not paying is all coming with Google. But Google doesn't understand the central name of the person deducting. It says that so-and-so came and we went to that office and the aggregator's name is not. Now we've asked them to print receipts so they can say exactly who that is, who the debtor came. And we constantly having calls. We constantly having to call the service. Last night I had several calls and I had to ask friends to call the company. She's like 100 rand deduction. And we said that's not from us. So everybody now who has a deduction comes to us and we spend a lot of time checking on the system. But families of poor, and at DTI, because we've gone to the Department of Trade and Industry because they are amending their current legislation. And my first thing was to say, take the SASA card out of the loop, don't let deductions come against the SASA card. And they said to me, are you trying to realign poor people? Poor people can't take a loan, is that what you're trying to say? So we have our own challenge within government to understand poor people. So there's a lot of work. In terms of the Moya Manja, Minister just said she wants the money to be returned. But as we investigate, because we have to investigate every case, we investigate the case where you go over to, I don't have a phone, but because it is ambush marketing. The child taps on his phone gets. You can buy airtime by using these digits. If you have a SAP card, it's easy. Just send back these last three digits on the back of your card, and automatically you will receive the airtime. It's that simple. And it's called ambush marketing, because all that data and cell phone numbers are in a data set already. It's just like you get a call offering you a loan every day on your cell phone. I'm sure you get that. Members must be getting things like that. We opt out for reject. Google might, because you see they all got SIM cards in the beginning of this business, because we wanted to enable them to get to the voice book. So they got older packages. Some of the Google's immediately added to the grandchild. It didn't keep it.
Yeah.
So the grandchild is now, yes, or the daughter, the last three digits of, oh my God, that is easy to find. You turn the card around, you see the digits, you do four digits before that, you put in the hash, and then you automatically load. So there's education of our communities, Chairperson, that we're embarking on. So right now, we are going to do a campaign in community. I think we spent a lot of money the previous year on media, on print media, on SABC, on ETV. But it's to explain this door-to-door to our people, to explain to them, go away to give your card. Because all we're getting is calls. Our call volumes are increasing. And it's about community education that we're dealing with here. We got to speak to our gorgos with a queuing at PayPoint, explain to them how it works. Because all we have, every day we have calls. I have on average 40 calls a day on my cell phone, which we have to sort out. And a lot of it is 100 rand, 150 gone of my money. And then we have to investigate. And then we have to actually drill it down to when was that loan made through which this aggregated micro lender. And when we tell them that, they say, shame, we forgot, eh? Hey?
Mm.
You see, some of the loans were made a long time ago. It's just taken them long to pay it off. Our communities do get involved in micro lending. And it's sad. But there are also big banks. We say if you have an income, and this is not an income, of 1,200 and you can come and make a loan. Mm-hmm. And it's out there all the time. Desperate people trying to make money off poor people. So the micro-lending industry remains a challenge that we're working with all forces in government. We want to declare some people reckless lenders who have not done the right paperwork. But you just give this, oh, here's a social card and an ID. You can have how much you want. You get it. That's reckless lending. There's an act. But it's the enforcement of the tools that we're currently working with other organizations in government. There's companies that can be suspended and their licenses can be taken. That's the type of work we're doing at the moment to deal with the micro lending. In terms of children who've lost their parents, the policy people should respond. We have found the phenomena ourselves. Were you giving social relief, for example? The child's 19 and the brother's 5 or 6 or 7. The child's at university, now there's no university fees. The parents were able to. This has become regular phenomena for us. Senior people in the family, in whatever place, took whatever, even put the children out of the house. Last night my call was, this child is 22, the money's taken, this cup has burned out, what do we do? Social development together with ourselves in the sector has to deal with that. That is why we have programs through social development, and Connie here, so I can't speak for her, are going into community where an adult is linked to a family like that who's in need. So I think calling social development for that assistance will help. Foster care remains open and an issue for discussion. There's amendments coming through about who can foster, just to facilitate easier access, because this is all inter-family, basically, the stuff that happens in families like this. The eldest child couldn't get the grant if she was getting a grant, child support grant. These are issues that we confront, these realities that have to be addressed in policy and regulation. In terms of recoveries related to say how many recoveries you've done out of fraud?
However, more good news is that we are now strongly relying on the Access Culture Unit to assist us through criminal access culture recovery, and we have also through the tracing of the assets procured through the process of the holding factor. We have, for instance, in one of our regions, traced through the cash flow analysis through the financial analyst in the world, 1 million rand in investment and also various fixed properties. So obviously we will bring through the court system and applications for seizure confiscation and through the power of the criminal asset recovery account for that money to be reflected. So we acknowledge certain lenders. It is time consuming, but at the end of the day, it is an economically viable proposition for us to follow.
I just want to say in that matter, the person was actually the general manager for financial management in SASA, who actually got their hands into the supply chain. And eventually, everybody was absolutely, they could not believe it because they think we were chanting, no, if you're there long enough and you're in your blood and you're sort of immune to the components in which you work, you cannot cook that until the time. So it's actually very alarming, the kind of work we currently are having to do. We have a financial misconduct board in SASA that if you transgress, your name gets put there. All of us have been there, for example, a cancellation of not lying today for the meeting tomorrow. They first have to clear whether you are responsible. It is my fault that there's a fine. We first have to check the conditions in which that fine happened. If I was rushing for a meeting and had no choice, if not, we would have to pay. And then we have the financial misconduct board, and this goes through our audit committee in order to be dealt with. So yes, there are some that happen that are unavoidable, you could not do anything about it, but the majority of them come through our travel agents through rental cars, and then we have to sort it out, you have to go and appear to explain. There's a lot of to explain about that. We want to bring that down to much less, obviously, because we don't want to be responsible. I think the litigation for a province, we'll have to send it. Is it available? The details, could you indicate the page, colleague? There you go. Start looking. Thank you. Minister appointed an advisory committee this year, last year. It's not here under review. The advisory committee is going to look at the end-to-end solution for tackling the future when we take over. That will also assist us with what is the human resource need. What type of stuff, for example, we've outsourced most of our ICT. If we're going to take over payments, we will have to get a whole team of ICT players in-house. So there's lots of staffing that we will have to look at. So this will require job evaluation, etc., in order to do that. I just want to say you can reverse mine. So where members find that someone has a deduction, you can call me. I'll give you my number again. But I will pass it on to Frank. My number is 082-550-4951. Because if a customer says they did not do it, they did not make a loan and there's a deduction, we will go through the banking system to have that money reversed onto their account. But we will do the investigation and sometimes it gives them bad news. I've got one client, it's client number 90. He phones me every month on the 1st to try and get us paying me loans. He did take the loan. Because the first time we reversed it and we found that he actually did take it. So now we can't reverse it anymore. So that also happened. Eastern Cape, as Jeffrey's Bay, Eastern Cape has drawn the most money for infrastructure from SASA, the most rental money. Eastern Cape has had to look at whether in the township where people are or in the city, not the bigger town. We are looking at all these areas and we have to do an investigation. Perhaps the service point needs to be in the larger area and in what becomes the largest area of people in the poorer area, that needs to become the local office. So we are looking at that all the time in the Eastern Gate. Because they have very big structures where people have to travel to that office. So what they've done, they've given us a proposal of many offices, and we will give a list, and we have to actually support this province in saying, where are our people really? So we will look at perhaps reverting to a service point in the close to the bigger town, because there's less people coming there, and looking at the local office to be in the community that needs us most. So those are the issues. What we are prepared to do is to write to, because there's quite a few of it, and inform this committee chair in writing on more valuable information. But that is the strategy in the Eastern Gate. I've spoken about this, the pay points chairperson, just to say that of the 9,000 pay points, before people used to spend the whole day there,
because this takes 30 seconds if it works out to draw your diamond, people are spending less time at PayPoint. We are constantly looking at who's using the most PayPoint, like where there's longest, to upgrade them. Done 600 during the year and upgraded 6, but there are 9,000. So we have to keep on saying, is it viable to put government money there? So this is constant work, but we are very mindful and very embarrassed. Because sometimes we still come across those that make us really unhappy. Do machines break? During the payment cycle, we do have some time to time where machines do break down. We have then, what we usually do, we call the service provider. We then have to take machines in the afternoon from another pay point to go and augment. People will get paid, but it will take longer. But we're all looking at standards. Whilst we've had the sports challenge, whilst we've X amount of machines, and some of the machines, perhaps this painting machine could cost R1 million per unit to have a cash dispensing machine. We constantly look at this process. I must say, we have been machines, all money run out in whatever the instance is, because we have apps as well. We constantly look at our service level agreement with the CDS. Last month, I did the first penalty against this company for not for taking more children off the system. That's not last month, it was in December, right? For taking off more children than should have. And I applied the penalty. He's obviously going to challenge the company, he's always challenged, I don't want to lose R3 million because it damages our reputation. The month we went to go and get the house for granted, there was no money, and the money came in 4 days later. So those things do also work. Everything is not smooth. There are problems, but we work with them. I think tracking the officials will continue to do that too, but I think by the time we actually get the biometric for staff, most of those issues will be done. I'm trying to budget. There was a budget question. Is it sorted? Do you want to answer?
But all of the years before that, for 2011 later, we had underspent, and in that year, the following year, that one salary gave us the rollover. So for 2012 and 2013, we did receive the rollover, which was the previous year. But even in that particular year, we underspent it.
And just in terms of the decrease in grants, Northwest has shown the only visible decrease in grant numbers. We were asked that. I think I've gone through most of it, unless we've looked at
the litigation page.
The litigation page 20 and 21.
No, just some thank you very much for the answers given. We do understand now. But I'm just worried. Abuse of the elders by children. Their own children. When we go to this thing of the new method that is coming about the voice, there's a term you use for somebody, what? Thank you. How do they say this? Rocker-rater, yeah, something like that. I'm just worried, you know, I know how especially the elderly that know nothing about this technology, phone or whatever. I'm not sure if maybe before they get into this, there is thorough explanation taking place. Yeah, thorough explanation taking place, because really, we acknowledge it. It's a good move, but our kids are just too abusive to the elderly that are literacy level, you know, the grannies that never went to school, they just happy to have money. They can't even count the money sometimes. Mm. Yeah.
Thank you very much for the presentation.
Thank you very much, Chair. Hopefully. Yes. All of you all did it.